down, announcing plans to leave as chair of the RNC, effective March 8th. Wall Street, the Dow is up 63 points, NASDAQ ahead 30. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on this broadcast today. Our special guest is James Crunden. James is the faith leader for the Citizens Defending Freedom organization, ministry. I'm thankful to have James with us today. James, if you would take a few moments just to introduce yourself to our listeners, tell us something about your ministry. What is CDF? What does it do? Why is it needful? Why is it necessary? How can people get involved?
CDF, that's a lot of questions. Citizens Defending Freedom, is a group of people that love the Lord and are very fond of America and are stepping forward to try to do what they can on a local level to focus on the things that are corrupt and going wrong in our local governments, which obviously are being perpetrated against us from higher levels. But we can't go to Washington and fix that. We know that our officials have been blackmailed. There have been threats, intimidation, bribes. We don't have to go through all the horrible ways that things have been twisted and the attack that we've been under. But to give people hope and to understand that, first of all, first and foremost, as C.S. Lewis, I think, said, don't ever forget your first love. I mean, we love, and our focus is on Jesus Christ and the Word. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And everybody out there, obviously on this show, is praying for that. To dig up some of the horrible attacks, yes, we could spend all day to do that. My hope for today and my prayer is to give you some warnings and some ways to prepare, but to also give you hope and to say, look up. We know who our hero is, and it's not going to be on Air Force One. And it's not going to be in the form of anybody here on earth. I mean, to me, we just go back to and look at the Bible. I mean, look at the heroes of the Bible, female and male. I mean, look at Ruth and look at Esther and look at the unlikely places that God chose people and used them for His glory. I know everybody's frustration, and I have neighbors and friends that ask me all the time. A dear friend of mine the other day said, what's the end game? Well, the end game has never changed since the Garden of Eden. It's a battle of good and evil.
That's right.
And we literally, as believers, need to encourage one another. We talked about it last time I was on the show, about suiting up and putting on the full armor of God and being prepared for this battle. We don't want to go blindly into what's going to happen. And then our churches, I think, is one of the things that many, many people are focused on right now. I know CDF is, because our churches are the ultimate difference. We talked briefly about that before we came on the air. And I used that analogy from Germany in 1933 when Hitler had then got elected. He didn't steal the election. He got elected through intimidation and horrible things. But he got elected. And out of the 18,000 churches in Nazi Germany, 3,000 of the parsonage was, or 3,000 of the pastors were behind him, 3,000 were against him, and 12,000 were complacent. Well, when asked about it, he later commented that the parsons would dig their own graves. And the 3,000 that were against them, and you can check the history, he had them killed, and they had dug their own graves. We have a similar situation because our churches are being lulled into complacency through trying to get exclusivity to get inclusiveness. And everybody can come, and, you know, we... Of course we want the broken. Of course we want the people that need healing and need the great physician. But we don't want to say that a lifestyle choice that's horrific, whatever it may be, is okay. It needs to be prayed about, and it needs to be corrected. And we need God's intervention in those sort of things. But for the churches to say that that's okay. I know there's a priest out in Oregon that, as of, I think, February 14th, had gone against the Pope's ruling to say that you're going to now bless same-sex unions and different gender unions that they're unmarried. And he said, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to advise my diocese that they cannot do it either. So there are bright lights out there. There is still light and salt out there. But it is ominous, and it's hard to believe that not more people are standing up to it. So that's what our focus at CDF is, to get people to realize and empower them to go to city council meetings, to go to school board meetings, to lock arms in the Lord, and to talk about and bring truth and light to the things that are wrong. We talked about that, and you'll hopefully touch on that about the statue. And
James, there's some, you touched on that, so I'll touch on this a little right now. We have school board election coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Why is it necessary for the Christians, conservatives, patriots in Duval County to vet the school board candidates and to vote for conservative Christian school board members? What's happening in our schools right now, and why is this important?
You wouldn't believe it unless you go and listen to it yourself. You'll think you're in a bad episode from that old TV show, The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. They have literally made their agenda public now. They'll tell you with no reservation that they're after your kids. And they're after them in a really insidious kind of way, little by little. People say, well, you're trying to ban books. We're not trying to ban books. You can get any book you want. That's not what people are doing that are going and saying, we want age-appropriate books. We don't want children in middle school reading horrific, vulgar, profane material and ungodly-like choices, lifestyle choices, and adding merit to those, or that might be a good thing. And you hear the other sides saying that, well, they changed the verbiage. You know, somebody that was formerly referred to as a pervert or a pedophile has now been relabeled a MAPS person, mm-hmm. a minor attracted person. We talked about that during the break, that was the Greek word for deceived means to wander from the way. Mm-hmm. It's happening to us. It's happening, and we're quietly thinking we can do nothing about it. But here's the newsflash. God has appointed us, those willing to speak up and stand up and walk it out, that we can be empowered through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left and was glorified, he said, I'm going, but if I don't go, you won't have a helper.
That's right.
Who will infuse you? Who will inspire you? Where are the Billy today? Where are the Ezekiels? Where are our prophets? Where are the Billy Grahams of this generation? Mm-hmm. Well, they're out there, and little by little, they're starting to reveal themselves. And I would say, align yourself with those people. There's no perfect human on earth. The only perfect person in history allowed himself to be nailed to a cross for us.
Right.
And so that if we don't take action and do what we can do, not violence, not violence, not, you know, breaking and burning. In John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Mm-hmm. We know what Jesus wants for us. But you can give consolation and comfort to the broken. One of my favorite books in the Bible, and I know some scholars, biblical scholars, but you obviously are, call it the fifth gospel, is Isaiah.
Right.
And Isaiah had a tattered, you know, he had a rough deal. Mm-hmm. No, none of these characters, Ruth and Esther, I joke that I married one of those women. My wife is incredible. At the end of the Bible where it says, clothed in strength and dignity, she can laugh at the days to come, I married up. I think my marriage is the picture of Ecclesiastes 4:12. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And it broke my heart when Billy Graham's wife died because I knew that a part of his spirit died.
Right.
Because that man walked into a room and you could have been a non-believer and blindfolded, and Reverend Graham changed the room. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit's dwelling in him was so powerful, his countenance radiated. Mm-hmm. It was just incredible.
Right.
And I know you've met him and people like that as well, and it's, I'll never forget it. There is no quick answer to this, but our faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see. As believers, promise each other, smile to each other. What did Nehemiah say in 8:10? He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
We should be joyful, mm-hmm. because we know who wins.
And Nehemiah also said in Nehemiah 4:20, our God shall fight for us.
Amen.
So it's not a battle that we fight alone.
Yep, and like Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you and you need only be still. So there's a sense of urgency, but we have to also take heart and realize that God has got us, but don't give up, because that's what the enemy wants. Mm-hmm. Little by little, we will win this battle because we know who our Lord is.
We know who wins in the end.
We know, exactly. But to shirk from our duties, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, we need to pull together, identify the people that really, truly are Christ followers and are willing to do a little something. I'm not saying work until you fall down on the battlefield. You need rest. You need nutrition. You need to do what you need to do for your family and friends and so forth. But by God, you need to be equipped and be in this word, because we have no further protection. I tried to bug you, Dr. Youngblood, the last time I was here, to take apart the full armor of God and tell our listeners what each piece of that armament means, mm-hmm. and there's only one, by goodness, that's an offensive weapon. And that's also mentioned in Hebrews 4:12. It says the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God,
absolutely.
Living and active, sharp than a double-edged sword, able to discern thought from intention, bone from marrow. Mm-hmm. I think is a pretty good
Amen, pretty good. Absolutely.
But think about how sharp knife. So God has got us. In the middle of the night, if you're scared, Lord, I need help. He's right there.
The Word.
The Holy Spirit is there. Amen.
The Word. Amen. The Word. James, let me ask you a question. I'm looking at a headline. Elementary school assistant principal says kids reading porn in school is okay. This is dated February the 22nd, 2024. An assistant principal of a Florida school said in remarks in a recent hearing that it is appropriate for an 8-year-old child to read about pornography and see dirty magazines, end quote. Garrett Jones, the assistant principal of the Twittinger Elementary School in Alachua County School District in Florida, made the revelation at a hearing last month. The hearing centered around a book that was offered to students that discussed transgenderism, child's gender identity. The book Melissa was previously published as George and discussed sexual intercourse, etc., transgender procedures, among other things, according to the National Desk. And he goes on to talk about, but this principal.
You know what I wish I could tell you? I wish I could tell you I was surprised, but I've heard that
not
sort
surprised.
Of behavior. And I've seen some groups of people are have an outburst and so forth in school board meetings and also in city council meetings, and they won't be asked to be quiet. They may be gently reminded, oh, there's no audible, you know, you can't have a reaction and applause and this sort of thing. But yet, if you're a conservative, and I had somebody last year make the comment, if I hear one more person talk about Jesus, my head will explode. And as your caller said, two callers earlier, it will not be long. He didn't finish my train of thought as what he was saying is, soon the Bible will be outlawed as hate speech.
That's right. It's on the fast track.
It is.
The fast track. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking today with James Crendon. James is the faith leader for the Citizens Defending Freedom There's a division of that here in Jacksonville. And James, in just a moment, I'm going to get you to give the contact information so that our listeners can reach you, see how they can become a part, that they can exercise their salt and light in the world today through an organization like that. I'm looking at a headline, James, it says, AT&T cell phone outage hit the U.S. How to use Wi-Fi calling. This article says, on Thursday confirmed an outage affecting thousands upon thousands of cell phone users, including some customers on the network who attempted to call AT&T users. Some of our customers are experiencing wireless service interruptions today, the AT&T spokesperson said. If it wasn't bad enough to find yourself unable to make phone calls from your own mobile device, some iPhones are reported to be stuck in SOS mode as a result of the outage. So, James, my question is this. Not only did we find last week major cell phone interruption, but also, and it's still taking place, also with pharmacies across the nation that are not able to fill prescriptions for the sick customers simply because of the network interference. I find it disturbing that that is the potentiality with that. I don't have the article before me, but it was something like thousands upon thousands of the network of pharmacies. I believe it was 67,000. That's what it was. 67,000 pharmacies networked together, and the network was down because of, quote, cyber attacks. What does that sound like? Should we be concerned for the future? Should we think this is simply a precursor? I personally have said that I believe this is a sample run to find out how we will respond. It is my most humble opinion, James, that we're going to see this increase and broaden over the next few months before the election. What are your thoughts? How do you respond to that? Is it something that's ominous that we need to be concerned about? Is it something that we need to prepare for and be available and ready? What
yes,
are your thoughts?
100%. Well, two quick thoughts. Number one, in my generation and yours too, probably, when the cell phone goes out, it doesn't hurt my feelings because it's a necessary
evil.
Yeah, we have to do the communication. But I would warn our listeners, first of all, don't be afraid, number one. But I would warn them, or caution them is a better word, to make sure that you have in your apartment, in your home, wherever you are, plenty of water. You have plenty of dry goods, dry food, whether it's beef jerky, whatever it may be, non-perishables. They say the average household doesn't have four meals stored up. I would tell you that even just pretend there's a hurricane coming. We don't have to say that China or Russia are going to shut our internet down, although that's one of the black swan events or the false flag things that they're looking at doing, is attacking municipal water and or shutting down massive electric grids that are already overworked because of electric cars. We won't get into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of different things. But be prepared for those sort of things. You know, I know there's a lot of Eagle Scouts out there, and there's a lot of people that know or can brush off their books to how to stock up and be prepared for things that are non-perishable and have water. As far as the medicine, that's very important. If you've got life-giving medicine and you need prescriptions, ask your doctor to allow you to get 2 or 3 months worth of them, or a month extra, several weeks worth of extra. So if the RX does go out of business, for those that take medications, they've got 2 or 3 weeks. If you've got pets, buy extra dog food and just have it there. If people say, oh my goodness, just say, oh, we're worried about the hurricane. But you don't have to try to go into conspiracy theory stuff, and we can talk about that on another show, because mm-hmm. I've got a list that'll knock the listener's socks off. And the things that we can prove now, you know, CIA with Operation Mockingbird,
yes,
that we've all seen the videos of massive Zoom calls of the same media people saying the same thing over and over again. Well, the little dark secret that came out is the CIA used to pay them to do that. Well, they said, oh, that program went away. Yeah, it went away, but they can voluntarily still do it, and they're still getting, you know, the wink and the nod
from the occupants
of the White House sort of thing. And that's just the beginning, the iceberg. But to answer your question, no, don't be afraid. Do what the Bible tells you. Seek the advice of wise counsel and hunker down and lean into that wise counsel and read the Word. And then be prepared in what you can do. Spiritually, obviously, guard yourself. You're standing on firm ground with Jesus Christ. So don't be swayed.
I say we need to pray, plan, and be prepared.
Amen. Three things.
I believe we have... Hold your thoughts there for a moment. I believe we have Lurie on the line. Lurie, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just going to tell you, I was talking with a man this morning and, you know, talking about how the churches have dropped the ball, basically. And so I quoted your what you always say at the beginning of your show, how God created three institutions, family, church, and government. And if one of them falls away, the other two can't be sustained. It can't, you know, survive. And I said, so they've already ruined the family. They've already just destroyed that. They've taken that down. And the government is so corrupt. So all we have left, the last one we have left, is the church. And I said, and you can't, you've got these pastors that just won't stand up and warn their flock. You need to be prepared. And so his answer, I was cracking up, an older gentleman, and he said, I said, you know, something about the churches. And so he said, well, I don't think you should talk, you know, you shouldn't have church and government, you know, churches should not talk about politics. And I said, really? You think so? And he goes, oh, yeah, because they're a 501c and they shouldn't, you know, they don't pay taxes. So if they talk politics, then they need to be, he was going off on something. And he goes, listen, I think the reason the churches are failing is because people aren't showing up. And I go, no, that actually has nothing to do with it. But he said, listen, I'm just trying to stay healthy and get along with everyone. And I'm like, that, I think that is the mentality of a lot of, you know, what we're seeing out there as
well. It's a, Laurie, yeah, it's a go along to get along, or get along to go along, however you want to couch it. And the mindset is,
yes.
And I can say this old cliche, I can talk about pastors because I are one. That's poor grammar, but it makes the point. And I have been serving the Lord in a pastoral role, Christian education, pastoring now for about 56, 57 years. So I've got a pretty good handle on the mindset, the modus operandi of pastors. Most of them do not want to do anything that would interfere with the potentiality of them being able to retire. They want to get that retirement paycheck, don't want to interfere with that. Most of them are afraid that if they speak properly from the pulpit about the Word of God and about the civil government and how God created civil government to be his servants and not to be the ruler over the people, but the people being the ruler over the civil government, rather than talking about that, they're afraid to do so because they're afraid they might hurt some Democrats' feelings. I had somebody not too long ago said, Pastor, do you have any Democrats in your church? I said, God, I hope not. the whole bottom line is we need to obey God and not government, and yet we have a mindset today with too many pastors, and I've said this publicly and on this broadcast and from the pulpit, I believe it's time pastors grow a spine, a biblical spiritual spine that's willing to stand even if you have to stand alone. I believe that is what God calls us to do. I've said over and over and over, I'd love to have 10,000 people to preach to. That's fine. But if there's 100 or 500 or 1,000, or if there's two, I'm going to preach the same message. And I don't care what demographic you're from. I don't care what ethnicity you're out of. Don't care what political stripe you might be. I'm going to say the same thing because it's the Word of God. The Word of God does not change based on era, based on denomination, are based on congregation. It's based on thus saith the Word of God. And I believe it's time that we recognize that. And as you said, when somebody said, well, had one said, well, we're just supposed to talk about Jesus. Well, when you talk about Jesus, what do you see? You see that Jesus walked into the temple with the bullwhip and cleaned the clock of those that were doing that which was dishonoring God. And I believe that we need, if we're going to use that for an example, we need to emulate Jesus in that realm and not be afraid of some political agenda that may be had by the other side of the aisle. But, Laurie, you're exactly right.
Amen. And
I believe as the Scripture says, judgment begins at the house of God. I believe it's time we start recognizing that and making a discernment and a stand for that. So, Laurie, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
Have a blessed day. All keep
right,
looking
thank
up. God bless you.
All right. You have a blessed day as well. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, James, how are you guys today?
Wonderful. Thank
Terrific.
You for calling.
How are you, Jim?
Good, good. Now, we just spoke last week, James.
That's right. I remember you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, if you have, you decide you want to ever do that show on preparedness, Dr. Youngblood, I will volunteer my time for that show.
Amen.
James is quite correct on that. You live in a state already right now that can have a natural disaster occur, especially between the months of June and November. If you're not prepared here, you know, for just the basics, just simple little things there, it's a difference between are you going to be in a FEMA camp or are you going to be somewhere outside of a FEMA camp's control? And that's as simple as it gets. I don't want to be in a FEMA camp. No way, no how.
Right. And that's when the truth is known, when the truth is put on the table, when the the bottom line in the last chapter is read, that's exactly what they want to do to us. And when I say they, I'm speaking of the loose likes, lost liberals on the left. That's the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. They want to do something to get us silent. They want to prevent us. This is the reason, as you know, Jim, they instituted through the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, instituted the disinformation, misinformation organizational structure within their organization and the bureaucrats. Yes, they said, no, we've discontinued. No, they haven't. It's still out there. It's very real today. It's being carried out through the DHS, through the DOJ, through the IRS, through the CIA, the FBI, all of the thugs with badges organizations in America today. They're listening to every cell phone call, every message, every text message, everything that's done on social media. They're listening to, filtering, tracing, and tracking every human being. But right now, the one that's in the bullseye are the churches. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at a headline, Jim, and I'll read this and you can get your impression of it. Skyrocketing. The number of attacks on Christians and churches explodes in America. And it says over 800% increase in the attack on churches. The word is from the Family Research Council, President Tony Perkins, who explained the Biden administration's whole of government opposition to biblical morality is fomenting this environment of hostility toward our churches. What do you say to that, Jim? With that being said, doesn't it stand to reason then that Christians want to be silent, sit down, shut up, and say nothing? Or should that motivate us to say something? I want your opinion, your thoughts, and then let James respond to it.
Well, they want us to sit down and be quiet. We've already been told that persecution will occur. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ there, he already told you they hate me before they hated you.
Right.
So we know these to be true. I'll allow
Absolutely.
James.
Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I would agree 100%. I think it's going to, because the enemy is like a caged animal. I think you and I had that conversation, and you mentioned that last week. You said, imagine an animal that's trapped, that's cornered, so to speak. They're going to be, all their chips are going to be on the table, so to speak. I mean, they're going to come out more ferociously, more intensely, because they're fighting for their life. So if they've got a twisted or bad agenda, and they're now seeing that they're starting to lose ground, they're going to do some things that are not so great.
Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, James, thank you for joining us today. It's a blessing to have you with us on the air again. It's always our joy to have you with us to discuss current issues. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-